Mr. B, yeah.
Hello, everybody. We're here today to talk a little bit about the conquests of Alexander of Macedon, sometimes known more popularly as Alexander the Great. Last time we were chatting a little bit about the Peloponnesian Wars, wars between Athens and Sparta and their allies, and we're going to start with the period right after this. So, you know, three decades after Sparta had defeated Athens, they really were slowly finding themselves unable to maintain leadership in Greece, partly just because they had worn themselves out so much in their fight with Athens. Really, all the fighting between these Greek cities had caused Greece to become generally quite poor and militarily a little bit more weak. This is what happens when you spend a lot of your resources, both in people and in money, and fighting a war for, you know, many, many years. So it was about this time that a new power in the north of Greece began to take over. For centuries, the tribes of northern Greeks had fought amongst themselves. The coastal areas of northern Greece were called Macedonia, and they were mainly shallow and swampy, and lots of mosquitoes were there. So, you know, malaria was a constant thing up there. And you know, most people tended to live inland. They would have kept sheep, they would have grown grain, and the area was rich in forests and provided a lot of wood for the rest of Greece. But really, you know, despite this and, you know, mineral resources like gold, this area was considered to many Greeks sort of a backwater. In the year 500 BCE, they had been conquered by the invading Persians. But by 479 BCE, they had freed themselves from Persian control. And, you know, in many ways, being conquered might have been the best thing ever for these northern Greeks. You know, in order to collect taxes, the Persians demanded that the northern Greeks organize themselves and even helped to establish towns and cities while they were there. So by around 360 BCE, when Philip of Macedonia was starting to rise in power, he was able to unite all the tribes in the area. You know, he was able to go to each of these towns and cities and was able to pull together what looked a lot like a, you know, relatively organized state. You know, it's a lot that he was able to unite all these tribes through his charisma, his military might, and, you know, generally through some good bounce of diplomacy. We know, too, that he reorganized his army into a new kind of fighting force with heavily armored cavalry at its core, and basically he just built a crazy good fighting machine and had the ambition and the talent to use it. You know, he saw that Greece was poor and weak from so much fighting, and so Philip took this newly, you know, or unified state. He took his armored cavalry, and he went about conquering most of mainland Greece. Then, of course, he started to plan how he was going to smash that age-old enemy, the Persian Empire. He built up his force, took out a couple of Persian cities, and then was murdered by his lover. Tough break for him, but it was great that he had a son. And not just any son. You know, many times a military leader like Philip will leave a son in charge, and he'll be kind of a disappointment. But in this case, you know, even though Philip was dead, you know, really the next best thing stepped right in and managed to continue the conquering. It isn't often that a truly talented military leader arrives, and so most civilizations would look at Philip's death and say, yeah, dang, he's dead. I guess that's really it for our taking over this whole world thing. Luckily for the Macedonian Greeks, they had Philip's son Alexander, who had been educated by the very best teachers, you know, had followed his dad's career with, you know, watching his dad, you know, lead this cavalry to some incredible victories. And by 333 BCE, Alexander took over the army of Philip and, you know, managed to put together an even bigger army with, you know, Macedonians and mainland Greeks working together to attack and then defeat the Persians, a much bigger army, a much bigger empire. And, you know, over the next few years, he took over all of Persia, marching as far as Bactria and even into the Indus Valley in India, conquering many different kingdoms as he went. Yes, his armies ran into problems, you know, and by the time that they had been conquering for, you know, a long several decades, you know, he found that, you know, maybe it wasn't something he could keep doing forever. And eventually he started to turn back with his army. He spent the rest of his life organizing this new empire, founding new cities, establishing Greeks as rulers in many areas, and settled many of his soldiers and citizens throughout this new empire. And, you know, from this conquering, adventure, he was able to spread Greek language, culture, and learning from North Africa to Europe to the edge of the Indian subcontinent. And when he died in 324 BCE, after contracting a disease which may or may not have been due to his rampant alcoholism, his generals split up his empire, with many of the smaller pieces being ruled by Greeks for centuries to come.